Blog Talk Radio.
Is my life the same? Is my life in your heart? Are all things from the beginning? The voices of Elohim sing, Yah. From Yah comes the sun, the shine of them is so bright as fire.
Welcome to Soul Purpose Healing, and we're listening to the music of Shemuel Wali talking about our Creator, Yah, short for Yahuwah. And on this show, we talk about Yahuwah, our Creator, all the time, because He is the beginning, and He is our life and our light. And so, welcome for today's show on the Tribes of Israel. I'm Viata, your host, and I have invited a special guest to be with me today on the show, and we're going to be talking about the tribes of Israel and their mothers today, because this is a special message about the human body. And as we started last week, we talked about all the parts of the body that are mirrored or manifested in the tribes, the names of the tribes. And we went through last week, if you missed it, you should listen to that show last week to get a thorough understanding of the 12 sons of Jacob, or Yaakov, as it's called in the Hebrew tongue. And so we're going to talk more about those tribes, because we realized in talking last week that there is quite a bit of depth in this part of the Bible that talks about these tribes and their mothers who birthed them. And there are so many topics that we could cover regarding these 12 tribes, and there's so much power in the scriptures that I've invited my special guest, my friend, my brother, Rafa, to return and kind of give us a male perspective. Last week we had three women holding a wonderful, enlightened conversation about the 12 tribes and the women who birthed them. But this time we're going to do it a little differently, and I've asked Rafa to come and share his wisdom and knowledge on this part of the Bible, these scriptures that tell us about this all-important tribes. And if you're listening live and you would like to call in for questions or comments, the number is 215-383-5863. That's 215-383-5863 if you'd like to call in. We're broadcasting live right now. And let me introduce my friend and brother, Rafa. He is a man who is well studied and trained in the Bible and who has shared his wisdom over the years with me in a most astounding way. And I'm truly blessed and honored to have him back on the show. He shared with us his journey a couple of weeks ago, which really blessed so many people to hear his journey. And I just thought Rafa should come back and we should talk more about these 12 tribes of Israel. So, Rafa, are you there?
Yes, good afternoon, my sister.
Good afternoon, and how are you?
I'm blessed. I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Blessed.
Thanks for having me back.
Hallelujah. It's an honor to have you back. As I was telling our audience, it's good to have the male perspective on topics like this because we did talk a lot. Three women talked last week, and we were so amazed at the wisdom that we heard in our ears, in our mind, in our spirit last week. And so I'd like to start off by just asking you, as you have read this part of the Bible, which we find most of the information or wisdom and knowledge about the tribes in the book of Genesis, chapters 29, and there's more in chapters 35 about these tribes and chapters 30. And so, Rafa, as you have read about the 12 tribes, what has been your understanding about this part of our Heavenly Father, our Creator's Word? What has it meant to you? How do you see these words, and what do they mean to you?
Well, excuse me. First, let me say I'm humbled and thankful to be a part of the show again and be giving some thoughts along with you on this topic. The first thing that comes to my mind listening to your question about what the Creator is doing is that we must look at his, as he says in Malachi 3:6, I am Yah and I change not. So his ways may vary depending on the individual, but the purpose and the manner in which he operates are always have a theme, a central theme and practice to them.
Mm-hmm,
so
true.
When you look at what was happening with Jacob and his family, which was a very large, somewhat dysfunctional family, you have to notice that it was the continuation of a process that the Creator started even through Adam, separating him and his wife, trying to create a unit in the earth that would be blessed with the higher revelation of his Torah, his laws, and that they would there be blessed to disseminate through their lifestyle as well as verbal teaching these higher laws. But we know the story. He failed miserably, and his descendants continue to struggle throughout this process. You come down to Abraham, and the same process was done. He was separated from people, and which is what we use the word today, sanctified, set apart, was given a mission and also a great privilege and honor to be the one that would begin the family line that got to Jacob and his children. So Jacob with his uncle and the two daughters now began a family that from the onset was a very dysfunctional and very problematic marriage between two sisters. Obviously, as a woman, you could imagine you and your sister married to the same man. It's going to be some internal struggle going on there. The jealousy, especially that the younger sister, according to the scripture, was a prettier girl and highly favored, as it says. And Leah, the word says, was tender-eyed. And when you look at the tender-eyed, meaning she was not the prettiest woman to look upon, but probably had many good qualities about her, you know, probably an intelligent woman and strong, had to be stronger. And because she's not favored, not privileged like the little one was, so she had to probably take and be more aggressive to get things that she wanted. And that characteristic, you can tell, played out through some of her sons. And she has four of the 12. So when we speak about tribes, first we just want to know that obviously the man and his woman are not really thinking ahead about a nation. They're just dealing with their children. It's a husband, wife, and their children. So,
right.
You know, the four sons that she had, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, all are, as you read through the scripture, these are prominent and leader tribes, they have a headship. Judah was given the headship after Reuben was, after it had been taken from Reuben, and Simeon and Levi are known for their aggression and violence that they perpetrated upon a nation of African tribes that had raped the sister whose name was Dinah. And so you can see the strength and aggression that playing out through the boys that obviously the mother had to display because she felt always behind her younger sister, which was the prettier and highly favored one, the one who was given things without having to put up much of a discussion or fight. The older sister probably feeling, well, I'm the firstborn. Why am I not getting this privilege? Why am I always the last one to be asked, you know, for something?
I love that what you how you say this was a dysfunctional family, because on the outside, we're always looking at what's going on the outside, you know, the conflicts that people are having in their family, the arguments, the emotional height of this in the women and the men. And yet, when we study the scriptures, we see so clearly that I think it's Yahuwah saw that Leah was hated. Her sister hated her because the man that she wanted was actually had been given to her sister, and so we see that there was hatred, this emotion of hatred. And when I look into emotions like hatred and envy and jealousy, I see fear. And I see that all of us, we're all struggling with these same emotions. And that's why it's important to understand these mothers of these tribes. Because even though these mothers had these intense emotions like hatred, the divine energy of Yahuwah said, I'm going to give her a baby. I'm going to open up her womb. And Rachel, who was expressing the hatred, she was barren. So women sometimes, you know, women sometimes say, well, this is an illegitimate child. I just want to cringe when I hear that, because there's no such thing in the eyes of our Creator. Women have to understand when they get the announcement, or they get the lab results or the test, or they receive news that they're pregnant, that's a divine energy working there. It had nothing really to do with the man and the woman as much as it had to do with divine purpose. And you hinted on this so much about how even in the beginning of Adam, the Creator had a design to separate and sanctify what we call in Hebrew kadosh, to be kadosh. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. once we have that mind that we are kadosh, then our behavior and our emotions need to change. There can be no more hatred. There can be no more mm-hmm. envy or jealousy, as we're going to see with these women. This internal struggle that was going on, not just within the family, but within their own physical bodies, their mind struggling, Rachel struggling that Leah is the first one pregnant. And so, oh, my goodness, I'm afraid I'll never get. In fact, wouldn't you say Rachel had a lot of fear throughout yeah. these developments and births of the tribes, because here she is barren, and she's seeing all these babies being born, the Reuben and then Simeon, and she's not giving birth to anybody. And then Levi comes along, and let's see, Judah and Dan
right.
and Naphtali and God and Gad and Asher, Issachar, Zebulon,
right.
and then Rachel has. There were 10 sons born before Rachel had her first child. So my point here is that Rachel was full of fear. And I think the
right.
Creator had to deal with her fear in order to bless her with a child. And some of us even have this fear, and he blesses us with this child anyway. But here, what is Jacob thinking through all this? Jacob is just planting seeds. what is the man
well,
thought about all this?
I would imagine it was a little more to it for him.
Go ahead, tell us what it was to him.
Yes, you that's funny. You made on such a good, excellent point you just brought up, though, that the you can look at the attributes or the characteristics of these women played out through the life of the boys. You spoke of the fear and the anxiety that you are sure Rachel has. So when you look at Joseph, a privileged individual is usually not as strong an individual as someone that's not privileged, because they get used to, like, being spoiled, you know, they get used
yeah.
to just have things given to them. So
mm-hmm.
when they are faced with adversity, sometimes they fold, and where a person who had to fight for everything they get, they learn, they build stronger character early
yeah.
in life. So
mm-hmm.
Joseph in prison, we fast forward for a moment, why did you figure such a apparently loved like he was by his father and mother, of course, and highly favored like his mother was growing up, and
mm-hmm.
he seemed like a pretty good child, but you could, as you read the account of Joseph, you read some arrogance there.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good-looking young man, the scripture says, very handsome, like his mom, a pretty lady. So he was arrogant, and he had to do the mission that which he did, which was actually saving his family, ultimately, the tribes and the nation as it became. He had to be humble first before he could do that mission. And he spent 17 years, or 13 years, excuse me, in a prison for a crime he didn't commit. So you feel, why did he have to go through that? Because he was going through a humbling process there, mm-hmm. and a trust. And obviously he had to build up some strength of character also, where
wow.
he probably
yeah.
didn't have before, because of him being the little favorite child, and his brothers hated him because his father doted on him. So as you, it's a very interesting dynamic to watch and read about the children and watching each of them, because you read different accounts of Judah and Joseph and Levi and Benjamin, Reuben, and so on. You get to see the various characteristics that you are bringing out very clearly of the women through the boys, and all of the things you were speaking. If you read those stories of the men as they grew up, you see what these women were, what their mindset was in their birthing these children, and also the naming of the children. I listened to my Bible tape last night about the Genesis 29 and 30, and I got a lot more perspective, because I've never really looked at it from this angle. And Jacob, I would imagine, had to be a very stressed out man, because as a man, I could tell you, a woman, when you have one woman that is not happy, the way we are wired as men, our spirit is bound with your, and if you care anything about the woman you're with, and a man, any man listening could tell you this, if your woman's spirit is not at peace, you cannot be fully at peace. That is a fact. Whether we get our way or not, if we win the argument or win the discussion, whatever, and get our way, if you're not happy, we're still not going to be happy. I'll tell you this, if we concede and say, okay, you know what, let's do it your way, and we're not happy with that, but because you're happy, we will get on board and we get over our sorrow or frustration or anger or whatever. We get over that relatively quickly because we feel like we get the energy from you. Like, well, she's happy, so I'm happy. You know, my home is good. Life is good because my woman is happy. My wife is happy.
Has to be a conscious man, too, a man who is is connected to his creator's energy of purpose, wouldn't you say? I mean, not every man will find that peace with the woman if they have this too much pride in ego and not focused on the creator's divine purpose.
Well, that's not what I mean. It now, as far as living out the righteous principle with trying to keep peace in your home, that what you just said will carry over into that, especially with the man who, like you said, has some righteousness about him. But just a man in general, I'm speaking any man, whether he acknowledges it or if he acknowledges it or not, if he's aware of it, likes it or dislikes it, it's just a fact that any female, if it could be your mother, your daughter, your wife, especially girlfriend, if you care about this female, this woman, if her spirit is not at peace around you, you're gonna have problems, and it's gonna affect us. It affects us, and it affects our mood. It affects how we move around you and deal with you, and it will carry in other areas of our life. Now,
well, you know what
that
reminds that. Go ahead.
Sorry, what we do with that, now that comes down to what you were just bringing up on the individual. If he's of a righteous character, he's going to seek to try to remedy that problem. But if he's maybe not connected to the Creator or trying to seek a higher level of life and existence, yeah, you know, he might just brutishly ignore, well, I don't care, and she can be mad. And they'll deal with it, and now I'm miserable, and you're miserable, and we're
mm-hmm.
both miserable, but I got my way. And but
right.
you're not happy, but I got my way. So, it, you know, that's what I mean. It still affects him, but he's just
yeah.
not going to act on it righteously. But it is affecting him. And if you ask him, he says, oh, yeah, it's, the home life is terrible. My wife's crazy. Or something like that, you know, but he's not going to try to fix it. But so I could imagine Jacob was very stressed out, a very stressed out man. He probably grayed early like me, and maybe had some teeth issues because his whatever weakness in his body, ulcer, high blood pressure, whatever, you know, tendency that could, his hereditary tendency to a deficiency due to stress, I'm sure he had it. Arthritic, whatever it could have been, because he had to have stress between these two wives, and then he had two other women that were having children for him under the wife's instruction. Not that he sought these women out. They were given to him by his wife. That just thinking of that alone is stressful because, okay, she's in agreement, just like his grandmother did it to his grandfather, Sarah and Abraham. But
mm-hmm.
when she did it, she regretted it. And
mm-hmm.
she hated Hagar. And that eventually put her out, the house. So you could see the same family dynamic that follows through from the grandfather to the grandson, where today we might call him a player, but really it's not a player. It's like what woman today would bring another woman to her husband and say, here, have a baby with her, and it's going to be mine. And he says, okay. You know,
That brings us to the subject of plural marriage as well, because Roth and I talked about this yesterday, how we have in our society, in fact on our earth, let's just put it on a global level, there are many families who have more than one wife, men who have taken on more than one wife, and it's not anything unusual in certain cultures. And yet in American culture, it's very unusual. But there are a few families, even in American culture, who believe that the man can have more than one wife. I, for one, find no problem with that as long as the women are in agreement. It's when the women, when men are trying to sleep with other women or raise a family with more than one wife, one woman, and the women don't know anything about the other. So it seems to me it can be an agreeable productive, a friendly situation if all the women are informed. But just let's look at the human body. What you were saying is very interesting about how Jacob was probably very stressed, because if the energy between these women and the man is not one of harmony and love and peace and cooperation, then there will be stress. And it brings me to mind to this human vessel that we live in. My studies have shown me about this human vessel, that every room in this human house, every organ in this house, will be affected by stresses in our life. For instance, the man's prostate gland usually becomes inflamed when there is a major conflict between the man and his partner. So if a woman is in major conflict with a man and angry, bitterness is there, and the man and the woman, like you say, are disagreeable, and there's stress in the family, then the prostate is most often the part of the body that will be affected by that type of stress, the conflict between male and female. And just as Joseph's name, we talked a little bit about this last week, Joseph's name means to increase or expand or enlarge, to structure movement and expression, and it's a foundation of blessing, multiplying of values, and the reproductive system. So Rachel's first child had to be given the name that represents in the human body the reproductive system. Rachel had to come to a place of increase and expansion and to be able to express the blessings and the multiplying of values. That's what Joseph and Rachel represent in the human body. Whereas you look at Leah, who birthed the first tribe of Reuben, Reuben's name means to see. She said Leah conceived and bore a son. She called his name Reuben, for she said, Yahuwah has surely seen my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. So from the first child, Reuben, or the first tribe, the Creator had a plan for to open eyes. It's about the eyes of the vessel, the eyes of this temple human body. And by the 11th tribe, we're looking at reproduction. So the divine purpose is has been working through these tribes and their mothers to help us understand this human body that we live in. And if we really study the women and these tribes, the men and the boys, then we will gain understanding of Yahuwah's temple, this human body. So that's what we're here talking about. Whether, you know, plural marriage, it requires a degree of humility and a degree of listening to see. It requires seeing the other person's needs, not just the man's needs, but the other women's needs. I think the more women a man would take on in a plural marriage situation, as Jacob did, and as you said, there has to be more consciousness involved, more awareness of the needs of each woman. And that would be mostly Jacob's role to help kind of coordinate that. If there's going to be peace or cooperation, don't you think Jacob has to be the one, the head, just as in the human body, the head is the command center for all the organs in the body. Every organ in the human body has to take orders from the mind or the brain. The prostate gland will not become inflamed if that man's brain or mind is at peace with the women in his life. Just as a woman's breast, we've talked about the breast cancer on this show at the beginning last year, a woman's breast will not become inflamed and grow tumors if the head, let's say in this case Jacob, if Jacob is at peace with all the things going on around the family, the women, then the woman's breast, let's say, is not going to have a need to grow any extra tissue in the body to compensate stress in her life if the head is communicating to that part of the organ. Isn't that a beautiful picture of our Creator's divine purposes in this human body? We look at this human body so carelessly sometimes and without very much value to it sometimes, because we put so much garbage in it, and we put in man's pharmaceutical drugs, and we carry, more importantly, we carry these unnecessary stresses, these conflicts of hatred, bitterness, resentment, jealousy. How many of these women were feeling jealousy as one gave birth to another and didn't really see the Creator's purpose in all this? establishing unity in the house, in the body, to bring glory and light to a much-needed society, and especially now this earth that we live in. Oh, we need light. There's so much darkness in the earth that those of us who have this knowledge, this is the whole purpose of this show, is to shine some light into this darkness in our minds about who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. We are the light. We are the stars that need to shine light into the darkness on this earth.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
And so even as we go and continue to look at these other tribes, these other sons of Jacob, we can just get a really good understanding of what our Heavenly Father's purpose is in this body, and what the women had to deal with, and what Jacob was constantly struggling with. Like you brought out, there was a struggle going on with Jacob and the women. And what
That's
is
right.
to bring peace? What brings peace in this situation?
Well, we know that there's not a lot of peace or harmony amongst the different, you know, all the brothers and
right.
Although they, you know, they could stick together, they had their issues too, and the one aspect, you know, we don't want to run over is that at least they were not a poverty-stricken family, so that was one element that Jacob, he didn't have to worry about so much. His stress, because as man, we mainly have two major stress in our life that will take us down in our body as well as our spirit. Those are our women and our money. Now, our work would affect you as a female a little more than it would us. We can get stressed out over our jobs and whatnot. Usually when we leave that job and we leave it there, whatever that stress is, so we don't carry it home so much as when we don't internalize it. The average man, I should say, you know, some of us do, but the average man, we can separate from it to a greater extent. And a lot of guys, you know, they will maybe go out before they even go home and go to a sports bar and get a drink or watch a game or go to a friend's house or something. And that's how they release that. So, but
television.
A wife,
that's a big one.
Or, what's that?
A television, that's how they release.
That too, yes, 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 yes. Or come home and become a couch potato, you know, vegetate.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, good point. So we do have the two major ones that will cause, say, the physical ailments that men get, and and of course the spiritual depression and so on, emotional problems. We have money or our wife or girlfriend or both. And he didn't have the money problem, at least, although he did have a pretty bad situation with his uncle as far as his work, because he was living well. It wasn't where he was struggling with the job and not being able to support and sustain himself and his family. He could do that, and eventually it got to the point he left. He said, "You changed my wages 10 times, and you know, you're complaining to me for this and this, and I, you know what, I'm out." And he left. So That's how we handle certain things, and he was done. So his major issue was the family and trying, I can imagine, to keep all of these women happy. Now, women, although these two handmaids were given to him to sire children or the wife or the wives, now when they began having these children, that they're not just a house servant anymore. They are that they have moved up in the ranks. You know, you feel like a pecking order, so to say. They are not just the regular servant girl walking around cleaning and cooking. They are now being on calling, you know, vernacular baby mamas. They are, they have rights. Now, look, you got my son. My son needs this, okay? And you need to check with your wife because she's giving me a hard time about me coming to you, about our son. And you know, and if you can imagine that kind of conversation had to go down. She, either one of those women, Bilha, and what was the other name?
Bilha,
right? And what was the other one?
Well, there was Zilpa, Bilha, Leah, and Rachel.
Oh, Zilpa, right. Okay, thank you. That's it. Zilpa and Bilha, right.
Leah's servant.
Yes, Leah. I mean, they had to have a kind of an arrogance about them now. Because they said, look, we got children, too. We in this. That's my, you might claim him, but I carry him. That's my son.
Yeah.
You know, so, that's a serious thing now. They all got one dad, but we got four different women here.
But look at this. Look at this, though. Look at this, though. As you're talking, I'm having a vision of the human body, is that sometimes we think that certain parts are more important than others. But really, if this human body doesn't work in harmony, that's when we have sickness and disease and imbalance and a lack of homeostasis. So here you're bringing out the fact that even though these women were very different, they still had to work together to raise these 12 tribes and to see these 12 branches of the human body develop and mature. And isn't it interesting how you talk about the men have a stress when it comes to women or money, but when the famine came, you know, when Joseph was taken off, and we didn't talk about how they tried to kill Joseph at some point. These brothers grew up; they didn't even want to have their brother around. They wanted to kill him. They could not see the big picture. And that's what happens in our human body is we don't see this big picture of every organ working in harmony together, the reproductive system, the eyes, the tongue, all created, all given to us to bring glory to our Creator as He knit us together in the womb. Each part has a function. Each Leah had a function. Zilpa had a function. Bilha had a Rachel. They all had a function. And Joseph especially, who they tried to kill, he ended up saving their lives in the famine. When Jacob didn't have any, source resources were low and the grain was low and the food supply was low, who did they go to for help? Joseph. So don't we often fail to see Yahuwah, the Creator's big picture in our lives? I know in my own life, what has helped me come to peace in my relationships is that I've had to know that there's a bigger picture here. And I may not be able to see it as we started out with Reuben. Reuben was the eyes, and to see, Reuben teaches us about our eyesight and how we can have vision that's beyond the physical. But isn't it true, though, in our relationships, we have to be able to see beyond the conflict and have a bigger picture, as with Joseph, who ended up saving their lives.
That's right.
And they didn't see that. They tried to kill that vision. They tried to kill those eyes. They tried to kill that reproductive part of the human body because they did not have the vision of the Creator, the eyesight or the insight, the understanding, overstanding, as it sometimes refers to, overstanding, to see. And that's where the conflict and the struggle was, because they weren't looking at the bigger picture, as with Joseph. Joseph finally helped them to see and increase their vision and expand and understand a bigger purpose in their life, in their body, a bigger purpose. When we look to the head and try and understand the stars and the moon, which we are mirroring in this earth, then maybe we can see the bigger picture. That's where I think we're in on this earth right now, with all the war. People are not looking up to the heavens and the Shemayim, it's in Hebrew, and seeing the big picture of what we are supposed to be, stars down here, and we've lost that vision of who we are and what the tribes inside of us are trying to teach of us, teach us what we need is harmony, not division. And even on this earth, we are so missing the bigger picture. And all we have to do is look up to the sky and see that the cosmos is teaching us about a bigger picture here.
It's interesting you brought up about Reuben representing the eyes, and Joseph was, yes, the brothers were planning to murder him, and who saved him? When you read Genesis 37, it was Reuben was the one who said, "No, my brother, let us not do this thing, for he is our son." And he said, "Let's throw him in a hole and don't kill him." And they said, "All right." So if it wasn't for him, like you said, he didn't see beyond, obviously, the whole big scene, but he did see enough that, you know, this is not right. And although, yeah, we might not like him, but he's our brother, and it would be wrong to do this thing. So he was the one that saved his little brother's life, and ultimately, through that act, saved the family life. Because, as you stated, it was through Joseph that the Most High saved the nation that would have maybe perished. Who knows what would have become of them through that devastating famine, that 7-year famine. So,
and if only our brothers in Afghanistan and the human soul in Iran, the human soul in the Middle East, in all these countries, in Syria, and the human souls here in America, could all see, as Reuben saw, our brothers, our human brothers, our soul brothers, and not be led by the divisive nature of the adversary in the earth, those men who would like to see more war so they can profit. May we wake up? Can we wake up to the 12 tribes within us and see, as Reuben saw, who are our brothers and who is really our enemy? What about the systems of the world who are really our enemies? When we look at the food system and the drug system, the pharmaceutical system, and the medical system, and the educational system, we have to have Reuben's eyes to see our brothers who are in the earth, who really do want peace, who really do want to bring harmony and end this dysfunctional human family. Because you got to admit, this whole human family is dysfunctional without the eyes of Reuben, the firstborn of the 12 tribes.
That's right.
Who has, who saw the bigger picture of the cosmos and the heavens and the stars that we are. And not trying to kill the stars. Can you imagine trying to shoot a gun up at the, shoot missiles at, in the, to the stars up there, trying to kill them because we don't like their color or something? Wouldn't that be foolish? And yet, it's the same principle that we're missing down here. But there are these starship, these enemy starships on the Earth that are roaming around trying to make a profit off of blood and death. And it's time that we wake up. It's really time that we wake up to the tribes within us, the mothers crying out within us to stop the bickering and realize the Joseph in us, the reproductive Joseph in us, who is trying to bring us to a place of expansion, of enlargement, an expression of our Creator.
And you said, now, what did you say, Joseph's name meant?
It's reproductive system. Everything you can think of in the reproductive, to increase, to expand, to enlarge. When you think of that embryo, how it starts in the womb and it begins to make arms and legs and a head and a brain and a prostate, and all the parts come together, and the feet and the toes, and we expand. The Creator helps us to expand from that seed, that soul seed in us, that soul seed that's planted in the mother's womb, to bring forth the 12 tribes in harmony and to tabernacle in this one house together, in this human body together, and then all these branches of human souls together, recognizing and seeing why we're here and what's our purpose and what's important, and the head, recognizing Jacob, the head, who is the director of all the other tribes, of all the sons and daughters, even, because they did have a daughter in there. We didn't bring her up, but she wasn't really the 12 of the 12 tribes, right? Who was the daughter?
No,
Dinah?
Dinah.
So Dinah was in there.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that there was only one daughter. But we appreciate that the whole tribal system was brought forth by the woman, the four women. And even with all their strife and confusion and bickering and jealousies, they we managed to come forth and understand who these 12 tribes, what they're about, the bigger picture. We managed to see the bigger picture anyway. So it's kind of like His will be done anyway. Even when we have all... Go ahead.
Yeah, thinking on what you, the theme you're on to further expand that, just looking at His name, His mother actually spoke prophetically in a way by naming Him that way. She knew through this one more are coming, and she had another son, who we call Benjamin.
Right.
She named him Ben-Ammi, which meant son of sorrow, and because she knew her life was fading away, she unfortunately lost her life during that childhood. And so, you know, she named him out of her dejection. But his father changed it to son of my right hand. He was the last child to be born of the 12 and the beloved. Even when you read like Genesis 50 or more, Deuteronomy 31, I believe, there, or 32, It talks about when Moses sung and he calls Benjamin the beloved of Yahweh. He says that this is my right hand and blessings will fall upon Benjamin. Benjamin was, even his brother loved him, was the one that caused him to break down when he saw him in Egypt and tell his brother, look, I am your brother. He came and confessed to them after he had put them through some little trial. And it was that last brother, the little brother, that brought about that love out of him. And when you look at Joseph again, his name also carries prophetic meaning, because those two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, through which are the half-tribe named under Joseph, those are the two biggest tribes of the 12.
Mm-hmm. It
says that they will become multitudes, both.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So she spoke a prophecy in through her son, the firstborn son, Rachel did, by naming him that, because she saw more coming. Through this one, more will increase. You know, his name is like to mean increase. And so that is very, when speaking about the vision that I hear you, the theme there on the vision, it's important to note that. So that we have, because the scripture says in Proverbs, without a vision, the people perish. And we do need a vision of positivity, one that takes us out of the immediate scope that we see with, like you said, the wars and the pestilence, mass poverty, and the push toward this New World Order that the leader trying to bring about to a further domination of the planet. We have to push beyond that immediate scope that we can see with just our physical eye and go to the higher level using our third eye, our spiritual eye, and look beyond the turmoil and see that future, the glory that the Most High has planned for his children. So vision, I like the theme you're on with the vision, using our mind and our eyes to see better and not get caught up in the present or the particular issue that is at hand, because we all have our different struggles that we are presently going through. You know, the people out there have things that are pressing on them right now, just like we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to find our way and navigate through these crises that pop up from day to day and week to week. So we need to have a heavenly vision, like you said, and look beyond the problem that may be immediately in your face, and don't look at it just as a problem, but look at it as a lesson. What is the Creator trying to teach me in this? And you know from our last show, I could write a book on that, because
mm-hmm.
if you just took your present situation and focus on that, it can depress you. It will
mm-hmm.
kind of bring down, it'll give you a dejection, what the Bible calls in Isaiah 61:3, the spirit of heaviness, of depression. Yeah, we got to look beyond that and see, what is he trying to teach me? What lessons, what is he trying to do to me? What is he rooting out of me that need, that's unlike him, that needs to come out, that I need to admit and deal with so I can become that better woman, that better man that, you know, he's guiding me to be.
Thank you. That's a perfect ending. We're right at the hour, top of the hour. It's, whoa, that went so fast. I'm so thankful for those final words of wisdom, because that is exactly my belief, that our circumstances are meant to help us learn the lesson and then teach the lesson. And so Rafa and I have come together today to our global family to help you see the lesson in the 12 tribes and their mothers and the emotions and the bitterness and the conflict and the dysfunction, and to rise above this struggle both inside of you and the struggles outside of us, which are all being promoted for fear purposes in the earth. And we are here to help you realize that we don't need to be in fear. We have a very powerful kingdom within the human body, and all we have to do is focus on the purpose of our Creator and have higher revelation and set yourself apart to be like the tribes of Israel and come together and recognize who created you, who put this knowledge, this wisdom, this brain, this head in you, and glorify our Creator Yahuwah in all that you do. Thank you, Rafa, for sharing your wisdom and knowledge. And thank you, Global Family, for tuning in. And I pray that this has blessed you to help you navigate this journey on earth with power and light, because we are all stars on this earth. We are a microcosm of the stars in the universe, where our name is on one of those stars. And when we have that insight and that vision, we can overcome anything. So I say until next time, I want to leave you with a beautiful song by Kara Asher, The Tree of Life Reality. That's what we're here for. And be blessed and have a wonderful Shalom week. Thank you.
Blessings.
Mm-hmm.